anything too dramatic himself. He's got good depth. He's now switching at the Argentinian to his forehand. Runa can deal with that. Then the inside out forehand from Cerúndolo. Well, Runa has got to that and he's forced the error eventually as Cerúndolo did finally come in and he went long.
Another incredible exchange. They're both trying to really defend the back of the court so well. The inside out forehand from Runa throughout this whole exchange, and then eventually the change of direction from Cerúndolo, but that really hurt him at the end of this point. And he can't believe he missed that backhand down the line. 23 shots in that last rally.
5-4, 15 love. Runa to the backhand of Cerúndolo, who's going across court again on his backhand side. He's wrong-footed for a moment as the Argentinian. He got back in position just in time. He plays a forehand down the middle of the court. Now he's gone onto his backhand, to the backhand side of Runa. Good depth again from the Argentinian. Forehand just gets over the net from Runa. He's going to play a slice backhand drop shot. He's made a mess of it. It was never going to get over the net. It barely got to the net.
How can you even try the shot at this stage of the match? This is it. Maybe he is getting tired.
I was going to say exhaustion, probably. Couldn't go on anymore. You said the last rally was 23 shots, and that was heading in a similar direction, Soph.
Yeah, well, we know that he's struggled in the past with past results going the distance. Runa.
7 o'clock on the dot local time. 3 hours and 36 minutes in. Holger Runa. Oh, time violation for Holger Runa, which comes as no great surprise because clearly he is exhausted, I think both mentally and physically. But he's got to summon the strength to win 3 more points. He's missed with his first serve. The second serve is to the backhand of Cerúndolo. Deep return. The forehand clips the tape and goes over for Runa. And then he's ballooned a forehand. Oh, it's all right. It's in play. It was one of those strange optical illusions. The point continues. Backhand to backhand again. Oh, and then... Oh, dear Runa.
So scared
Runa from
right
behind
now.
The baseline. Miss what he does. I don't know what he does with his backhand, but he's netted it.
Both shots. I mean, you could tell how... gingerly he was hitting. He was just so scared to even hit through the ball. Wow.
Chris Bowers and Courtney Walsh have arrived. They'll be taking over shortly. Chris will have some explaining to do about this racket and the accusations that have been laid at his door. As Runa serves to the forehand, he was going to serve and volley, but the return is long.
Playing a little bit of bluff here now, 2 points away from the match and to qualify for the quarterfinals here for Runa. By the way, I was referring to this match in Monte Carlo against Rublev when Runa lost 5-7, 6-2, 7-5. It was a grueling match. Had opportunity to win this.
Well, Runa is 2 points away now from winning it and setting up a quarterfinal with Casper Ruud. He's missed with the first serve. He was trying to swing it away to the right-hander's forehand. Overhit it. Second serve to the forehand. Runa goes cross-court low over the net. Forehand deep from Cerúndolo, who now plays a backhand into the backhand corner of the Dane side. The inside-out forehand from Runa. He'll now play his double-hander. Mid-court ball for Cerúndolo. Didn't really go after it. He's got another mid-court ball. He's gone after that one, and it's a winner.
So passive in this point, Runa. But Cerúndolo very, very courageous in this point with a two striking forehand inside in. The second one came about, I want to say, 10 kilometers per hour faster through the air. And it is now Cerúndolo with a chance to even things out at 5-0. Cerúndolo yet to be able to break here in this fifth set. 0-3.
Yeah. In comparison to Runa's 1-for-1 in that regard, first serve again is missing the box. So, break point down, break back point down. Second serve, Runa. Backhand reply is deep from Cerúndolo, who's onto his backhand cross court, the double hander from Runa. biggish forehand from the Argentinian. Short ball for him. Cross court on the forehand side to the Rune forehand. He's taking all the pace off the ball again, Holger Rune. The backhand down the middle of the court from Cerundolo. He's there again, hooking one towards the backhand side of Rune, who's netted. Cerundolo has broken back. 3 hours and 40 minutes, and we've still got no idea which of these players is going to go through to a quarterfinal with Casper Ruud.
Well, this crowd is absolutely loving it here. I'm sure one player is totally gutted, and it's Rune right here who had a chance to take that match 2 points away, but Cerundolo, very courageous, went after the points, went after the forehand, was much more aggressive in the point, and that made the difference for him to be able to break Rune.
Well, Sophie, we're going to have to leave at this dramatic moment in proceedings.
Yes, we are, but we are in good hands. Come on.
We are.
Yes, of course.
It's Mr. Bowers
and Courtney.
And Courtney Walsh. Very safe hands. And Chris, probably now is not the moment with Cerundolo serving. And we'll just watch the first point here at 5-all. And it's a muddle and a miss hit. And everything's gone horribly wrong for Rune on his backhand there. At some point, you will have to either refute or accept the accusation from Simon Cambers that one of the rackets you brought up here today looks suspiciously like one he lost in a French hotel 12 months ago. You might have been staying
please
in.
Please, let's not go there right now, people. No fighting. Here we go. Back on Susan Langland.
The forehand from Cerundolo is long.
Mistake from Cerundolo. Is looking at his box. Furious at them that he missed that ball. Well, I say goodnight now. I leave you to it, guys.
Thank you.
Marcus Buckland is already at the bar, so
yes, exactly.
I'm going to go and join him, okay? All right, thank you, everybody.
My lawyer will be waiting for you in the bar. waiting for you and Simon Cambers, I think. I'm not sure whether the offence is yours for repeating it or his for making it in the first place. But I tell you, those two are both my rackets, and I can tell you what they're strung with. I think we're all highly strung at the moment. As Cerundolo leads by 30-15. 5-all, fifth set. So this is Cerundolo's last regulation service game. Courtney, is there any reason, do you think, why Marcus's part of the commentary booth is soaked in water? A backhand return from... the serve is long. Sophie threw a bottle of water at you, Marcus says. Do you believe that?
Just to cool off?
Yeah, well, yes, exactly. What was he doing to cause her to throw a bottle of water? That's what I'd like to know. Forehand from Rune up the line, but he's long. And Cerundolo moves to 40-15.
What a fabulous fight back this has been.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Because, and actually, when he had those break points at 4-3, I thought the fight back was about to be complete. Cerundolo there, 40-15. If you've heard us talk about Stefan, our super-duper technician, well, he's everything. Because he's actually now got... He's equipped with... Oh, it's a double fault from Cerundolo. He's equipped with absorbent paper and is now cleaning up my commentary station from all the inundations that Marcus has left behind.
It's potentially a good thing because with this match reaching the climax and the thrilling match it has been with a quarterfinal berth on the line, we don't want this commentary box to explode because water drips into the electronics.
Exactly, yes. Well, right. Backhand return from Rune. Cross call from Cerundolo. Backhand Rune deep to the backhand of Cerundolo. Forehand Rune into out. Backhand Cerundolo down the line is a winner. That's brilliant. And he waves his racket up to the crowd. He is almost dead on his feet. And yet he's not. Because when you're winning, you don't feel tired. And he's 6-5 up, fifth set.
Just the broadest of smiles after hitting that backhand. It was a really well-struck shot as well. It wasn't the easiest one. I suppose the gap was there. He was brave enough to go for it. Seized his chance off a deep forehand close to the line. He was well behind the baseline in the doubles lines effectively, but a couple of metres behind. Still good enough to find the winner. It's a tremendous shot.
Do you know much about him?
Well, I saw him have some significant results in the last couple of years on clay. He started off on that early clay court swing in South America post the Australian Open, and that marked him as a player to watch for me.
One of the reasons why he's taken a little bit longer to mature than others is that he insisted on completing his education to a decent level as well. So he's... I'm not going to say he's an intellectual because you know, just because you pursue your education doesn't mean you're an intellectual. But he's, I think his strong subject is maths. But the fact is, he said, no, tennis is too precarious. I'm going to get my qualifications, you know, basic level, whatever the education system is in Argentina that allows you to leave school at 18. And, yeah, he's now making up the tennis tour, knowing that he's eminently employable if it doesn't work out for him here. But 6-5, fourth round of a Grand Slam tournament, I think it's working out.
It does seem to be working out. He's certainly working out the fractions and the percentages.
Yes.
And finding the acute angles with distinction at
he's
the moment.
He's probably enjoying the Mexican wave that's going round. And this crowd will stop when it wants to. Kadir Nouni, a French umpire, is saying, please stop. But they're enjoying themselves, so they're not going to stop. And they will probably say, these players and the umpire are being paid to be here. We've paid. So the umpire can dance to our tune. Runa serving for the second time to stay in the match. He serves and volleys, puts the volley away nicely. Nice move.
Yeah, with his opponent so far back and the quality of the first serve, it really set him up well. It's also a nice way to settle the nerves. You you know you have to make the volley. You're not going to be extended in a rally. He's a long, long way behind the baseline, isn't he, to return.
But then that's the fashion these days, isn't it? When I did Rude's match for television earlier today, and he was sort of almost rubbing his back on the back fence. Runa, 15 love, serving to take this into a deciding tiebreak. Second serve, Runa's at the net, plays a half volley. That's too good. Lovely touch. And he puts his finger to his ear and says, come on. Come on, you cheer me for me now.
And just the sheer quality of that half backhand volley. Backhand half volley. To find the touch, to find the angle, it was a superb shot.
Oh, I like the half backhand volley. It's a half a backhand. Since he hits with a two-hander, that was a one-hand, but touch volley at the net. He serves out wide. 400 turn is netted. Runa clenches his fist.
And we are a point away from the most dramatic of conclusions to a stellar fourth round match.
And you know, this is the second of four matches on the Longland court. So it's all very well our colleagues staying for the Dimitrov-Sverev match on Chatrier. Back and return into the net, and we have the tiebreak. Because I said to Eleanor Preston earlier, I said, oh, you're doing the Sverev-Dimitrov. Yes, yes. Should be good. And I said, yes, it should. And then you can finish off the...
well, after the amazing match between Haddad Meir and Cerebes Tormo today.
Three hours 51.
The longest match on the on the women's tour this year.
Yeah, and only 16 minutes short of the longest ever match at Roland Garros for the women. Sorundolo starting this 1-10 tiebreak. It's a match tiebreak, championship tiebreak, super tiebreak, whatever epithet you wish to give it. 1-10 with a lead of 2. Sorundolo serves. Back and return is netted. And go on.
I was going to say, and just to touch on that in terms of the longevity of that match, this is now at 3 hours 48, so we suspect it will just marginally eclipse.
Yes, but in 5 sets.
In 5 sets.
Yeah. I just wonder whether they might move that other one. Could they move it to the Simon Mathieu?
Potentially. It does seem to take night matches pretty well out there.
Yeah. A serve down the middle from Runa is into the net from Sorundolo, and it's 1-1. I was going to ask you, if Runa wins this, does this change, having had to go to 5 sets, does it change the dynamic of his quarterfinal against Ruud?
Look, I think it does. He will have... Well, let's see. Let's get there first.
Backhand return from Sorundolo. Backhand Ruud. Runa down the line as a winner. It brushes the top of the net as it went through, but the serve was good enough to get the short return, and he put it away comfortably.
He put the hands up quickly in apology, but I'm not so sure necessarily it was as heartfelt, because what a vital point to win early on to try and keep your nose ahead in a tiebreaker.
Sorundolo, 1-2. One of these men is going to leave the court in about 10 minutes' time. Absolutely gutted. Backhand from Runa is too long. And it's 2-2.
Two backhand returns from Runa. Two mistakes so far in this tiebreaker.
Kadir Nouni, very, very experienced umpire, asking for calm between the points. and getting booed for his trouble. Surundalo serves. Forehand return is up the middle of the court. Forehand Surundalo into out. That was very short. Runa has to slice it. Forehand from Surundalo. Runa with his two-hand across court. Backhand Surundalo. Backhand Runa. Good angle on that one. Surundalo chips on the backhand. Into out from Runa on the forehand. We got there on the two-hander from Surundalo. Has to chase this one. Surundalo up the line with his slice backhand. Runa goes long. And looks up the umpire and said, was that shot of his really in?
It certainly looked close to the baseline, but for my eye, it did look in.
Yes. And he played it, so there's no comeback on it. He's a feisty character, is Holger Rune. Holger Vitus Nodskov Rune. He dropped the two middle names.
Turning professional? Or a couple of years ago.
It was about 2 years ago. He was a professional before then.
Yes, sorry.
Back in return from Surundalo, looking for the winner, but he's missed it. He's put in the tram lines.
And shakes his head in disbelief. He did have a swing on that. Upset that he's missed. Again. Upset, discussing it with his box, shaking his head. He was faced with the incoming rival once again, which has been a feature late in this match. When you're so far back, you're going to expect it a little bit.
I wonder if that's a tactic or whether he's got a bit of cramp. And therefore, the best way of keeping the points short is to serve and come in.
No, that's a very good point as well. It has been a warm day again here
yes,
in Paris.
Yes, it has. 27 was the top. And it probably is not much below that now. 7:15 in the evening. It's probably still about 26, 27. Runa serves into the net. Humidity wasn't too bad, though. Humidity was just under 50%. Second serve. Down the centre. Runa again comes in behind it. Plays a low volley into the net. That's the first point against the serve in this tiebreak.
Yeah, it was a nice return. At least on that occasion, he made him play. Runa screams in disbelief as he walks back towards the baseline and more to the point in angst. It was a nice return. It wasn't absolutely to his toes, but it was still testing. Went to the backhand, tried to get the acute angle on it and didn't quite come up with the goods.
He just screamed up to his team, I cannot hear you. I wonder if that's meant sarcastically, that shout more for me, or whether they're shouting instructions which you just can't
hear.
Hear, yeah. Surundalo at 4-3, second serve. Backhand from Runa is netted. And Runa is now screaming. You can't hear him because of the crowd.
And once again, it's the serve to the back end doing the damage on that occasion. They've all been well within range, and he's netted all three of them in this tiebreaker.
Surundalo at 5-3, serves out wide. Forehand return is just over the net. Surundalo comes in, nets his backhand. Well, I don't know if that was a desperation shot from Runa or a very clever shot, but by dropping the return short, meant that Surundalo, maybe he should have played that on the one-hander, but by playing it on the two-hander, he was lunging forward for it.
Not able to get enough clearance. Both men look absolutely out on their feet.
They do.
Not surprising given the, I suppose, the intensity with which this match has been played at different stages and the actual factor of the deciding super tiebreaker.
Runa serves 4-5. We're back on serve. But second serve for the Dane. It's kicked. He stays at the back of the court. Plays a forehand. Now goes in behind it. Backhand from Surundalo. It's going to go wide. Runa left it. He had a play on it, but he guessed right. Judged the flight correctly. And we're level at 5 points all in the fifth set tiebreak.
And I suspect that what you hinted at just before in terms of the legs perhaps starting to really feel the strain. The first opportunity there he was in after the second serve. Didn't follow the second serve in, but just took the plus one, the forehand, and tried to put the pressure on his rival. It was good enough on that occasion.
Yes, he got a short return. Runa at 5-all. Serves out wide. Forehand return. He stayed at the back of the court. Brilliant return from Surundalo. Would it be better going in behind that? Because the return was quality.
Absolutely sizzled that ball from the juice court, but he was swung out wide to the forehand, all the way to the opposite forehand, flat and hard, left his rival without an answer. It was a superb return. Now with a chance to move to 7-5 and take a lead in the next change of ends.
Surundalo serves down the centre. Second serve. It's kicked into the body. Backhand return. Backhand from Cerundolo. It's long. And it's 6-all. It will be the finest of margins that decides this match.
That was a better execution on the back end wing from Brun on the return. He moved forward on the early ones in this tiebreaker. He'd been stuck, I think, on the spot effectively. Tried to reach for it. This occasion, he was really moving forward. Plenty of pace on the return. Drew the error. 6-all.
Well, Holger Rune had a long three setter today. I know it was straight sets, but there were sevens in all of them. 7-6, 7-5, 7-5 against Nicholas Jarry. 3 hours and 20 minutes, I think it was. But he will be delighted to know that his next opponent is coming off a 4-hour five set. It's 3:55, but he'll get to four probably. Forehand from Cerundolo, dug up by Rune. Cerundolo comes into the net. A high lob from Rune. Cerundolo will smash this one, puts it away nicely.
Seven, six to the 23rd seed at Roland Garros.
This is almost his breakout slam, isn't it? Even if he loses this, people will say, ah, yes, Cerundolo. He may well be, he'll certainly be on the verge of the top 20, maybe even in the top 20 after this. Rune, 6-7. Serves, back and return. Rune's at the net, plays a half volley. Now he plays a volley, but it's over the net. He puts his hand up to apologise because that came off the frame of his racket. But he's taking his chance. He's going in. And Cerundolo drilled the backhand at Rune. Just seeing it off the... it was a two-handed volley. His left hand was on the throat of the racket. I'm not even sure which part of the racket that hit. I think it got a bit of string.
And Cerundolo doubles over in disbelief. He had ripped the return at the incoming Rune, who made a very... He just swatted the half volley back and found that winner. Amazing.
7-all. Rune serves down the centre. Backhand return. Backhand Rune. Cerundolo down the middle of the court. Rune down the middle of the court. Cerundolo is wide. It was a loud, decisive call. The umpire is off his seat. And he said, yeah, he was wide. So that's not a point against the serve, but we are sharp end now. Cerundolo serving at 7-8. Will he go for a big serve out wide? He serves. It is wide. Backhand return. Backhand Cerundolo is wide into the tram lines. And it's two match points for Holger Rune.
He's really lifted his returning late in this tiebreaker. Early on, disappointing, but he's risen to the occasion. Again, on that occasion, he stepped forward, thumped the backhand cross-court, drew the error immediately. Lots of power, lots of pressure.
Does Rune look to get into the net on this one? Two match points, the first on the Cerundolo serve. Cerundolo goes down the centre, he's missed it. Rune could decide to attack the second, because it'll be a safe serve. On match point, it's short. Backhand return from Rune, but he stays at the back of the court. Backhand Rune, deep to the backhand of Cerundolo. They're both at the back of the court, but they're playing up the centre. Forehand from Rune, backhand Cerundolo. Backhand from Rune. Cerundolo goes into out on his forehand, but Rune is there. Forehand from Cerundolo up the line, but Rune's fairly fat one as well. Backhand Cerundolo cross court. Rune digs this out with his two-hander. And netted by Cerundolo. And Rune is through. He has a beatific smile. And there's a warm handshake and something of an embrace. He's not everybody's favourite, Holger Rune, but he had to dig deep. And he's through to the quarterfinals, where he will face last year's runner-up, Casper Ruud.
Just an outstanding finish to what was a fabulous match all around. At different stages, it ebbed and flowed, but the latter stanza, where both men were vying for the triumph, the shot-making on occasion was superb, but in the end it was the boldest who prevailed. the ability to come to the net as he did to make that clutch volley in the latter stages and then to finish off with a couple of ripping returns. Amazing.
There's applause for Francisco Cerundolo. He acknowledges the applause. This has been a good tournament for him. He'll be very disappointed at the moment. But to have reached the fourth round, it's a big step up for him. He'll be on the verge of the top 20, if not in it, next week.
And I think more to the point, he has proven to himself that he can excel on a stage like this, the finest clay court stage in the world, Roland Garros, against a player many predict for greatness.
Yeah, are you convinced about Rune?
Well, once he delivers, yes, but I think he's certainly very, very, very promising. He's very promising. He's doing exceptional things for a young man.
He's talking now with Alex Kreutzer.
Congratulations. I know you love tennis. I know you love to be on this court with full house, but is it possible to practice for moments like this?
It's very hard. I mean, it's a unique feeling to stay on this court in front of incredible crowd. So, I mean, it was so much fun, guys. So thank you so much. Thank you.
And do you have a chance when you are working hard to imagine one day like this, or only when you experience, you know how to deal with the situation, where to serve in a match point, when you serve for the match, maybe you cannot close her out, and the way to recover, how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I had a heartbreaking loss in Australia, where I had this situation where I could serve for the match and lost, and ended up in a match tiebreak like this. So actually, I told myself, you know, when we started the match tiebreak, just to relax and play tennis and enjoy, because, you know, moments like this stay with you forever, no matter how you win or you lose. You just go and enjoy and try to play your best. So I enjoyed every moment.
I have to say, I'm very impressed that you said that you enjoyed this moment, because everybody was here like suffering, sweating, heartbeat like so high, you know. But how difficult it is to play against someone like Fran, that he's got an amazing forehand, so it makes you run from side to side, and also either you need to change down the line or find his backhand, otherwise you are almost dead on the court.
Yeah, it's difficult. He's playing amazing, especially on clay. I think it's a surface that suits his game very well. You know, he has a big forehand, big swing. So when he gets the time, we saw when I was closing out the match, he hit two forehand winners, I think. And he was just too good. So credit to him. He's a very nice guy. So I wish him all the best. He has a bright future.
And I let you go because you're tired, because they're coming to play, but all the credit for you as well, Holger, because you hang in there, you suffer, you fought hard, and you ended up winning. So you deserve to be in the quarterfinals. Congratulations. Mesdames et messieurs,
thank you so much.
Holger Rune, qualifié pour le quart de finale à Roland Garros.
Well, he's the word I've used is feisty. He's a fierce competitor. We like that. He's not everybody's cup of tea, but he's certainly on a great wave at the moment. For me, the test for Rune will come when he starts losing a few matches. How does he bounce back? Because he has to work so hard. He's not the biggest guy. He's got a good game, but what I was impressed with there was that when his legs, we assume, began to get a little bit tired, he had enough variety to try different things.
Yeah, no, that was something I was about to touch on. So you've stolen the thunder from me there, Chris. But you're exactly right. He was bold enough, but also clever enough to realize that he needed to change something up. And it worked. It was really effective, the serve and volleying. The attacking the second serve, particularly on the back end wing.
Just having a look at the match stats. And in virtually every category, Cerundolo is ahead. More first serve percentage, higher first serve percentage won, higher second serve percentage won, more winners, fewer unforced errors, more break points won, total points won. In fact, he won 11 more points than Rune.
But the beautiful thing about tennis is that the scoring system, and
yes,
you have a chance no matter what the occasion until the final point is played and resolved. And I think what we saw at the tail end of that match was something that will stamp Rune in good stead, perhaps not for his next match, and we'll talk about that in a second. But you asked whether he's capable of bouncing back from losses. Well, he had that really, really difficult loss. He talked about that in his speech to send in Australia, where he was beaten in the super tiebreaker. Out he comes in the next Grand Slam, plays a super tiebreaker, progresses. Now, can he do the same? Because it was Rude, I think, last year that knocked him off.
Yes.
In a quarterfinal here.
But he beat Rude in the semis in Rome last 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
I do believe that Rude has clearly taken a step forward. I think he really struggled in his first couple of matches here. But the confidence that comes with winning, and also the conviction of knowing that he's got a couple of really fine seasons on clay, played so well here to make the final last year, his maiden Grand Slam final, clearly came up against a legend and was unable to prevail on that occasion. But
and he did today actually something similar to what Rune did. I did his match against Nicholas Jarry. It wasn't a particularly impressive performance by Rude, but when it came to the critical points, he was so sharp.
And that can separate the people who were in the last eight,
exactly,
from the people like Cirandullu who, yes, are heading home now.
Yes.
So it's, I think it shapes as a fascinating quarterfinal. In fact, I think the entirety of the rest of the tournament, which I think has been a fine tournament on many regards in terms of the drama, some of the long matches, and that, am I right in saying that breaks the record? Is that the 31st best of five match? I think we were at 30 of days ago,
yes,
so that may well have been the record-breaking match.
Yeah.
In terms of the number of best of five matches played here. There's been so much drama, but there's been some brilliant tennis, and we have the world's best players still vying for the title in both the men's and women's singles, and I think that that's something to look forward to over the final 6 days of the tournament. Well, six and a half, because as you pointed out just before, Chris, we're only halfway through the schedule on long.
Yes, exactly. I have been looking to see if they might move a match, particularly the Tsitsipas match. I mean, they had a chance to put Swiatek Cirenko on Chatrier because Coco Gauff finished at, what, quarter to six? So they could have got, you know, banked on this being no more than 2.25 hours and had the, put Swiatek then. I'm assuming they will have discussed it with the players, but maybe they decided, no, that was too much of a risk. If it goes to three sets, then they need a minimum of 25 minutes between day session and night session on Chatrier, whereas this can follow on. But I suspect they will have a situation where they say to Tsitsipas, and it's not Tsitsipas, is it? Tsitsipas at the top of the draw.
It is Echeverry.
Echeverry, yes.
In his match encounter, which has just slipped my mind as well.
Yes, okay. I expect that they'll say to them, if that hasn't started by a certain time, we will put it on another court.
I believe so. And there is the superb third court here.
The Simon Mathieu.
The Simon Mathieu.
It has got a doubles line at the moment. The reigning doubles champions, Marcelo Arevalo and Jean-Julien Brugère, the third seeds. They are 6-5 up in the first set.
And it is, of course, Echeverry against Yoshihito Nishioka.
Nishioka, yes.
How do I put it? Is a marathon man himself, Nishioka.
Yes.
So with those couple of matches still to come out there, you would think that they may well make the move. But either way, based on the way those two gentlemen are playing, Echeverry,
that could be a long one.
I saw Echeverry a couple of days ago, well, a few days ago against Alex Dumanor, the Australian, and he was really impressive.
Yes.
His clay court results are reminiscent of a man who's making a rise rapidly. He's got some strength. Nishioka was playing on a corresponding court. It's, from an Australian perspective, it's just been a heartbreaking couple of hours because he knocked out Max Purcell, the other Australian, on a corresponding court. And just the contrast and the style between the two, I think, will make for a really interesting match out there tonight, wherever it ends up.
Well, I guess they're looking at the match to come, which is Iga Świątek against Lazia Cirenko, which we'll certainly have the first 45 minutes of. I have to see it where we go after that. Because Świątek's played three matches, all straight sets. Four of her six sets have been bagels. Six love in four of the six. It's pretty impressive.
Well, in four of the six, you can't do any better.
No, exactly. So it's possible that, with the greatest respect to Lazia Cirenko, This match could be over within the hour.
That's right. Nestorenko did have a very, very fine result in her third round match. She played particularly well and was a dominant winner over a former Grand Slam champion in Bianca Andreescu, a 6-1, 6-1 win. So she certainly was only marginally less impressive than Swiatek in her double, well, her love and love win in the first round. And look, she also had a really easy win. Well, easy win. She progressed after Lauren Davis from America had to withdraw midway through her second round match when leading the set. And in the first round, Shevchenko just had a very, very, very fine winner against another former champion here in Barbora Krejcikova.
Yes.
So she hasn't dropped a set. She's beaten two Grand Slam champions already just to make the fourth round. Now she comes up against the number one and the three-time Grand Slam champion, a double champion here. But she must go out there thinking, well, I have already knocked off two major champions. I must be some chance here. I've got to back myself in. As impressive as what Swiatek has been playing, she has to give herself some hope of an upset.
Yes, absolutely. We haven't got too many of your messages of late, understandably, I hope.
Mesdames, messieurs, les
because we've had action near the stadium announcer also welcoming the ball kid, the ball boy who's bringing out the balls for the Swiatek-Zarenko match. Aaron says the way that Holger Rune has pulled through this match is what, for me, makes him a true professional, reminiscent of a lot of Djokovic matches.
Finding a way with the pressure at its highest. In the end, he started with a few errors on the backhand wing in that super tiebreaker, but he cut them out as the tiebreaker progressed and also came up with some sublime shots. So that's what Djokovic does day in, day out, and he has been doing that for around, 18, 19 years now. So it's still a long way to go, but, yeah, I can see a comparison certainly in that instant.
And Dave says, Cerundolo was my dark horse pick. I love that he applauds his opponent's good shots. I'm a bit gutted, but what a contest. Rune is a lucky boy. Well, yes, Dave, Rune is lucky. I suspect there's a bit of your disappointment speaking there. I mean, both deserve to win. It was tremendous. And actually, yes, you can't win a tennis match like that without a bit of luck along the way, but you work for your luck. And there's that lovely Gary player, the golfer, his comment, when someone shouted out, Gary, you lucky boy, and he said, yep, the harder I work, the luckier I become. And it's a really good, slightly ironic metaphor for, you know, an awful lot of luck is deserved. You work yourself into a position to profit from a bit of good luck.
Yes, yes. And I don't doubt that when you see players aspiring to be the next Nadal or Djokovic or Federer, and they see how hard at different occasions those men have worked, they know that they have to work harder and harder and harder to try and knock them off the perch, but also to succeed at this level. So, yeah, I'm sure that that Holger has done plenty of work already in his career. And I don't doubt that will stop.
Here the stadium announcer,
Lesia Zarenko.
Welcoming Lesia Zarenko to the court. Still a number of people in the arena.
La saison passée, il est la tenant du titre numéro 1 mondial, Iga Świątek.
I suspect most of them will be wanting to see the world number one, Iga Świątek. She comes on with headphones on. She's wearing an outfit that she could very much wear at Wimbledon because it is all white. At the beginning of the tournament, she had a black stripe down her side. Not now.
And the crowd is just, you know, it's still reasonably full in the stadium. I'm sure after that epic, after two epics, some fans are just ducking out to grab a quick bite to catch their breath after a couple of epics back to back to back.
Yeah, I mean, 3 hours 51 for the first one, 7-5 in the third set for Beatrice Haddad-Meier. And then Holger Rune, who won his first career five-set win. And apparently he's, according to ATP Media Info, they've probably got this one right. I think I know who's behind that, this fact. He's the first Danish man to reach multiple Grand Slam quarterfinals since Kurt Nielsen, who won four. Got to four quarterfinals back in the 1950s.
Okay.
I remember Kurt Nielsen because he commentated here for Eurosport for many years. He's dead now. He died about 10 years ago. But he was a regular figure in this stand that we're in now, although it was a previous incarnation of it.
It's
an old stadium having been rebuilt in 2018, 2019. The voice you're hearing is Louise Engsel.
The player? Receive? Good match.
Serenko won the toss and chose to receive. And Świątek bounds back to her baseline, a bit like Rafael Nadal. Well, they're good friends. Imagine Nadal, I think he's friends with everybody.
It's an interesting one. He is very popular, and why wouldn't you aspire to be like him on the tennis court?
Was it one year that she said, it's my birthday, will you hit with me? And he said, yes, of course.
Happy birthday.
Great birthday present, isn't
Happy
it?
Birthday.
Yes, exactly.
We saw some footage of Rafa celebrating his 37th. Now, would you call it celebrating?
Well, because he's in hospital, wasn't he?
He is in hospital.
Exploratory procedure.
Which, by reports, has gone well.
Well, the procedure went well. It's a question of what they find, because it's being an exploratory procedure. It sounds to me like they just don't know. And they're having to do a lot of research as to what the problem might be with his psoas. Muscle, if the psoas is a muscle. I think it is. Well, it's a very special part. I mean, I had this explained to me a few weeks ago. The psoas is complicated, and I think they're still not exactly sure where it fits in terms of how does he best deal with the injury. Is it just a question of a break? But, we don't know. We'll wait to see. And he has said he's taking a break for several months. So, in a way, he's given himself time to find out. And I hope he comes back for at least half a year. Because I'd love him to end his career here, either Roland Garros for the French Championships next year, or for the Olympics.
I think it would be the fitting stage for him.
Yes.
It would be a celebration of an extraordinary effort. I cannot see it being topped unless Novak somehow manages to continue on in Melbourne for another 4 years. But I just cannot see it happening again in tennis.
No, I don't think Novak is going to win as many titles in Australia as Nadal has won here. I don't think that's his interest. His interest is to finish with at least one more than Nadal.
Yes, I'm certain that's also driving him.
And that's why I think he's very keen to win two more, because he knows that Nadal might have one more Roland Garros in him.
Number 15, it would be.
It would be 15, and it would be a 23rd major. They're tied at the moment on 22.
Cette droitière a débuté sa carrière professionnelle en 2018. Aujourd'hui classé à la première place mondiale en simple dame.
Keep your messages coming. Our Twitter handle is @radio_rg, and our email address is frenchopenradio@fft.fr. French Open Radio, one word, @fft.fr. Fédération Française de Tennis at France.
And please tell us what you've loved about the tennis today.
And where you are in the world.
And where you are in the world. What you're eating. Look, I only managed to sneak a snack just before I raced upstairs. So you could really tempt my appetite for a little later tonight in Paris.
But are you dining with your wife later?
I am dining with my wife.
I know
later.
That she was hoping to see you a little earlier, so thank her for the fact that you'll be meeting up with her an hour and a half later than expected.
The challenge will be whether she's awake. So she's flown in from Australia this morning.
Okay, right.
It's a reasonably long flight.
Well, I mean, having dinner at 9 o'clock is nothing unusual in Paris. So you'll get plenty of tables at restaurants.
Yes, no, and
to that extent, it's fine. Maybe she's had a little cat nap.
She enjoyed an afternoon cruising along
the Seine.
Yes.
Ah, very good.
Thought it was the best way to stay awake. The best way to conquer jet lag is to try and stay awake and exercise.
Well, you know that one of Iga Świątek's support team gave her a birthday present last year, a voucher for a trip on the Seine in a boat. And she said that if the schedule works out this year, she will make good that this year.
That is a gift that she hasn't used, because I'm thinking a lady who has played as spectacularly, has a little bit of cash in the bank, what do you buy the lady that doesn't have it all? But certainly from a tennis perspective, has just about it all.
Yeah, it's a nice thought, isn't it?
It really is. It's a very...
I suspect she's probably said, oh, God, would it be great to go on one of those boats? And someone's just clocked that and said, you know, give her that as a birthday present.
It's an interesting dynamic because players we know travel to some of the world's best cities, see the world in by and large, but there are some who don't travel much further than the hotel room to the tennis courts. And it's look, from a Tennis Australia perspective, I remember talking to a coach quite a few years ago who, as part of, I suppose, trying to further their experience of the world to also buy a little perspective, they almost insisted that on a day off, go out and actually see a little bit of the city, try and learn what the world is about.
Yeah. But you must have you say to your friends, I've been in Paris for a couple of weeks, and say, oh, lucky you. And you say, well, actually, I didn't see that much of the city. I was working the whole time.
Look, I'll always push the boundaries a little bit. I try and get out late at night, but I also, you know, if the window opens, like it did yesterday for me yesterday evening,
good.
A long, long stroll along the Seine to Notre Dame and then up through the Tuileries and into the suburb of Passy for some Japanese. It was beautiful.
Excellent. Right, first point of this match between Świątek and Serenko, and it goes to Serenko as Świątek overhits her backhand. Down to Rue de Rivoli, where there's the jeu de pomme. Jeu de pomme, game of the palm of the hand, was a forerunner of tennis. And there's, I think there's a court down there. Świątek serves an ace down the centre.
Now, we talked about the marathon schedule for both players. The marathon day so far out outside of Longland. For both players, that presents a challenge as well, because they
absolutely
would have expected that they would probably be getting on court at some stage between maybe 4 and 5 or 3 and 4 p.m., and here we are at 7.
Yeah, they'll have expected at the start of the day that they have to be ready to be on around 4. But then, you know, with Serena having taken the first set, Rune the second, and it was 2-1 to Rune, wasn't it? So at that point, they thought, right, we need to get ready. But warming up, eating, and then finding it goes to a fifth set, so they have to go back to the beginning. And then to see Rune with those break points at 4-3, they couldn't convert them. Serundolo at 4-3, so it looked like it might finish in 5 minutes. But then it went on for another half hour because it went to match tiebreak. Świątek, 30-15. Serving. Into the body, forehand return is deep. Backhand from Świątek lands deep. Forehand from Serenko into the net.
That was excellent defence there from the world number one, because it was a striking return cross court. She really had to scramble to make it, but got lovely depth on the rebuttal. A very, very, very nice defensive play there from Świątek.
Świątek serving. Down the centre, backhand return. Świątek, backhand Serenko. Świątek steps up, hits a backhand into out, forehand up the line, has just missed for Serenko.
Świątek.
The positive start for the defending champion.
Yes, definitely the younger of the two here. 22 years old, as against 34 for Serenko. And Świątek is wearing the clothing of the Swiss running company that Roger Federer was heavily involved with. They made a running shoe, but they're into clothing now, and she's wearing their clothing.
Yes, I have their running shoes, I must say.
You like them?
I'm yet to try them. I thought I'd save them for when I return to Australia.
Okay.
So they're sitting there. It's an interesting design, and I suspect that they'll really help.
Make you faster.
Well, couldn't be any slower, I don't think.
You got it first. Serenko, serving. Too long. Second serve from the Ukrainian. She has a little ribbon in the colours of her national flag, yellow and light blue, on her tennis top. Her tennis top, which is largely the colour of clay, sort of mixture of orangey red and ochre. A little bit of light grey, light orange. Love 15, Serenko. Serves too long. She maybe a little bit nervous. Second serve. It's the backhand of Świątek. Forehand from Serenko into out. Backhand Świątek. Serenko with her two-hand across court. Backhand Świątek up the line. Forehand Serenko up the middle of the court. Forehand Djokovic. Djokovic. Świątek. Cross court Świątek out of the forehand of Serenko. Backhand Świątek. Backhand Serenko. Very long rally. Świątek next.
Impressive resistance there from Serenko. As you touched on, maybe a little nervous initially, but a couple of long rallies where she comes out as the winner, that can only boost her confidence.
15-all. Serenko serves onto the service line. Backhand return. Backhand Serenko to the backhand of Świątek. Backhand Serenko. Backhand Świątek deep to the backhand of Serenko. Goes on the forehand wing. Cross court by Świątek. Forehand by Serenko with a lot of air. Świątek takes it on the rise. Serenko's there, but nets her forehand.
Just as a little chat to her box, but excellent depth there from the Polish star. Drew the error from her rival. Just testing each other out at the moment, Chris.
They are, yeah. Serenko serves. No, she doesn't. Not happy with the ball toss. Bouncing the ball and now ready to serve again. 15-30. She serves. Backhand return. Backhand from Serenko. The middle of the court. Backhand Świątek. Now down the line from Serenko. Forehand Świątek. Forehand Serenko. Backhand Świątek. A slice from Serenko brings Świątek into the net. And Serenko with a forehand slightly tamely into the net. You either go at your opponent at the net, force them to play a volley, or you go for the passing shot. She didn't really go for either.
No, and the last 2 points, the depth that Świątek's been able to make, well, you know, certainly put the pressure on the forehand side, and she's drawn rather limp forehands on both occasions from the Ukrainian.
So deep from Serenko. Now hits a forehand to the backhand of Świątek. Forehand from Serenko tries to run foot Świątek. Świątek with the defensive backhand. Serenko lets that land, and it's beyond her baseline. Well constructed point.
And the first break point saved in the match. Another one to come, though, as she tries to stay with the top seed and favourite for the event.
Serenko serves. Backhand return. Backhand from Serenko into the net.
Świątek
racing to her chair. She just asked for something. Oh, she's changing her shoes. You're allowed one shoe break in the course of a match. They are the same shoes. I don't know what's different. I mean, they're the same make.
Same make, and you know, clearly the clay court shoe. It's interesting. It's just something slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm assuming these are brand new. Sorry, are not brand new. Because I don't suppose any player would play in a brand new pair of shoes. Surely you practice a little bit in them.
It would lend itself to blisters, you would think, if that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting, I suppose, delay. It doesn't. I haven't seen it too frequently. We used to know
it happens sometimes, especially when a player breaks a shoelace.
Yes, there
shoe
was
drag.
Stefanos.
Stefanos does it a lot.
Had that issue for a period, absolutely. And she's bouncing back to the court, back to the baseline. Satisfied with the shoes?
Yes. And that was a quick change, actually. It didn't really take long. Serenko just making the point of going back to her chair just so that she makes Świątek wait now. Świątek, two love. Serves out wide.
Comes
to the top of the net. And I didn't hear that one or see the ball deviate, but Świątek serving into the body, backhand return, backhand from Świątek, backhand from Serenka, forehand from Świątek, Serenka with the forehand down the line, backhand from Świątek is wide.
So I think they played in Rome recently, and it was certainly they one-way did. Traffic. We have Eric Shacky has written in. He thinks that Świątek took 12 games in a row after losing the first two. Well, here she is, and the first two of this match. Do we think that Serenka will return the favour and win the next 12?
No. Forehand from Świątek. It's wide. I had a fascinating match today. The Onstrupper match against Bernarda Pera. 6-3, 6-1. Pera did not hold serve once. Now, you know, when you have a six love, like Świątek had in the last round, clearly the opponent doesn't hold serve. But other than six loves, I don't think I've ever seen that.
No. Was it the quality of the Jabeur return, or...?
I think she had a nightmare, Pera. I think first Grand Slam, fourth round, and I think the occasion got to her.
Yes, and she wouldn't have played on that court in particular,
no.
I don't believe.
Exactly. Świątek serves at love 30, backhand return, forehand Świątek, forehand from Serenka. Backhand from Świątek, into out, it's a clean winner.
And the fist pump as well. That one went sizzling past Serenka, who was scrambling to try and make the ball, but not able to. Trying to get on the board here. Won the first 2 points of this game. Świątek serving at 15:30, having started in very effective fashion.
Very effective. We know she's a very effective player. I mean, that's just a simple wrong footing manoeuvre in the last point. She puts her first serve into the net. Second serve from the defending champion goes to the backhand of Serenka. Backhand from Świątek. Forehand Serenka. Backhand Świątek to the backhand of Serenka. Good angle from Serenka, but Świątek is there. Down the line, Serenka, but she nets.
And just some errors are already starting to pile up on her racket here, or certainly flow from her racket. Whether it's because she's pressing a little bit, certainly understandably given the quality of the world number one's shot making, but also positioning on the court, her ability to cover ground so well. The pressure is on.
Świątek serves off the top of the net. And long. Second serve. The world number one. It's a slight delay. There's always a bit of a delay, but she's now at least brought the rackets and the balls together. Not happy with the ball toss, so the ball starts again. Two ball bounces. Again, this long pause before she tosses the ball and serves. Backhand return. Too long. A loose one from Serenka. It's a soft second serve. Doesn't appear to have the flat backhand into out, which would have been the obvious shot then.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's certainly the ball kicked away a little bit, but she didn't have the footwork either to get herself in position. So a couple of options that went begging, instead flew the ball well long.
Świątek serves, back on the turn. Deep to the forehand of Świątek. Forehand from Serenka, backhand from Świątek, defensively deep. Serenka making Świątek run here, but Świątek is excellent in defence. She goes up the forehand wing now. Serenka cross court onto the baseline of Świątek. Backhand Serenka. Forehand from Świątek. That's it to the net from Serenka.
Świątek.
Excellent play. And in fact, Świątek played the shot that her compatriot Agnieszka Radwanska was known
Świątek.
For.
Man.
Almost with her left knee on the ground. She leads by 3 games to love, which is a healthy enough lead for me to read out. WJ. Oh, sorry, this is Joel. Joel from Washington, D.C. If Iga wins, she plays Coco Gauff. What are your thoughts on that possible matchup? And in fact, somebody else has said that as well. Jennifer, listening through my entire 7-hour flight from Heathrow to Montreal, had to purchase the internet plan, but worth every penny. Oh, thank you, Jennifer. Very kind of you.
And what a fabulous city Montreal is as well.
It is lovely.
I do
city.
Love it.
Some tips for what Coco could do to beat Iga.
Play unbelievably well,
yes.
Would be a start, assuming that this match continues to go the way it is tracking at the moment. She has to defend really well. Now, that's something that we know that she is very capable of.
I think she's got to make the most of her backhand.
Yes.
Because that backhand has come really good. Forehand is okay. She can do some good stuff with it.
And what we do see with Goff, we see Swiatek serving that kick serve. Sharenko's standing back in the court to return it. Goff's got the height and the power on that backhand where she...
The high backhand.